This is Dave Gaharry on the corner of Wall and Fraud. I just want to make mention, Bernard, that you spoke a bit about the Columbia disaster. When I was in the Navy, I was down in Orlando, Florida, going to nuclear power school, and myself and a couple of my Navy buddies, we went down to see the first shuttle launch, the maiden voyage of the Columbia, in April of 1981. It was a beautiful sight, and it is a sad thing. But thank God, as you were saying, no nuclear payload was on board.
Yeah, most important.
Yeah, because there was talk about delivering nuclear waste into space with a rocket, and of course we could see that certainly isn't viable. Bernard, special show today. We have two senators from the tri-state area. One is,
I'm recording on that.
Yeah, right, yeah. One is senator from New York City, Hillary Clinton. I interviewed her in person last week, and we're going to play that tape at the end of this segment. My guest is Senator John Corzine, the Democrat from New Jersey. Of course, Hillary Clinton is Democrat from New York. Interestingly, I found this out when I was doing the research, both Senator Corzine and Senator Clinton were born in Illinois in the same year, 1947. Let me give a little intro to Senator John Corzine. As I said, Senator John S. Corzine was born in Illinois in 1947 and grew up on a small family farm, and this is from his biography on his website. He graduated from the University of Illinois in 1969 and enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserves, remaining there until 1975. Moving into the financial industry, he earned his MBA in 1973 and began working in 1975 for white shoe investment firm Goldman Sachs. The same year he moved to New Jersey. He became partner in 1980 and chairman and CEO in 1994, exiting the firm in 1999 with some nice pocket change of about $300 million from a private to public conversion of the firm. In November 2000, John Corzine was elected to the Senate representing the Garden State, state that I live in. Senator Corzine, thanks so much for joining us today.
Dave, thanks for having me. Take care of your buddy Bernard there. It sounds like you need some help.
Yeah. Well, we just shipped him out, so you can't hear him coughing anymore, right?
No.
All right. You wanted to briefly make mention of the space shuttle.
Well, I think that all Americans, everybody just got a great sadness about this. I think most people understand that we need to explore our frontiers in all ways, whether it's in science, in laboratories, in the CDC or National Institutes of Health, or whether it's in space. And anytime you get onto the frontier, there are dangers, and I think people also understand that, but there's a human tragedy element of it, and there needs to be a standing down and figuring out what went awry and how this came about that needs to be understood.
Right. Yeah, the whole thing is sad. It's very sad. Senator Corzine, you know, it's interesting because you are, you were in Business Week. They had a little article about you, the March 18th, 2002 issue. I'm sure you saw that in the finance headline, and you were under the Reformers column. It says, guess who's going after Wall Street? And among certain things, it said you were previously best known for spending $60 million of your own money to get elected in 2000. Was that right? $60 million, or was it $63 million? I heard a couple of figures bandied about.
I think it's they're in the ballpark.
Around that area. Okay. Just for the benefit of our listeners, because this is a topic that many of them show keen interest in. They're curious, why would somebody want to spend that much money to earn, I don't know what the Senate pay is, what is it, like $100,000 a year?
140.
Okay.
But yet, David, the biography you gave with respect to my life and my family's life is one that I've been afforded unbelievable opportunity. My goal wasn't to set out to make money, but things happened. But I feel like I have a major responsibility to give back, and I believe in fairness. And I believe I've had a chance to have access at those opportunities, whether it was scholarships to college or exposure, college loans when I got my MBA.
Right.
Had a chance to go to work for a firm. I'd never been in New York City
before. Right.
The first day I went to work at Goldman Sachs.
And, right.
People accepted me for what I was and what I did. I believe that that's what America should be about. And so I feel very strongly about making sure that others have that same opportunity and that we operate with a sense of responsibility one to each other.
Right, and that's clear from your legislative record and your legislative accomplishments, which brings me to this point. The public's view of Wall Street, as you're acutely aware of, is a very negative one. Can someone from that Wall Street culture, and Goldman Sachs is, of course, one of the most influential investment banks on Wall Street. I believe it's over 120 years old. Is that correct?
That's... 1869. Even more than that, I think. And about 130. I'm not so good at that anymore, but I think that's 134 years or so.
In fact, it has one of the lowest clearinghouse numbers. It, was 005.
Somebody really understands this better than I. I didn't know that. But you know, it is a firm that really reflects, or its history reflects, sort of the growth of America, and. I'm proud of a lot of things that certainly went on at Goldman Sachs, but there's one issue in Wall Street is that often people allow the denominator of their success to be only in terms of money, as opposed to, you know, the quality of work, the service that they provide, and their role in the community. Frankly, I think Goldman Sachs is. Obviously, bias in this is a little unique. I think about John Whitehead, who's running the Lower Manhattan Development Corp now at age 80, was a senior partner of the firm for a number of years in the late 70s, early 80s. See Steve Friedman, who's advising the president on economics now. Not necessarily do I agree with his advice, but my point is there, or Bob Rubin, who came out of Goldman Sachs before he went to be Secretary of Treasury for the Clinton years. There is a lot of people who have turned around and given back.
Oh, absolutely. There certainly has been. As a matter of fact, that's probably the most don't know the word I'm looking for right now, but at any rate,
community focused.
But many people come from Goldman Sachs and use what's known as a revolving door to go into public service in Washington, D.C. And they revolve back sometimes. Now, the public's mistrust of Wall Street certainly has not gone away, if we can use the stock markets and stock exchanges as evidence of that. What do you think it's going to take to have people able to trust Wall Street again?
Well, I think we made big strides last year, and I'm actually proud of the legislation that's now labeled Sarbanes-Oxley for the contribution that Chris Dodd and I made to putting together this oversight board, putting together the audit of the auditors, if you will, and breaking down some of the conflicts between auditors and consultant roles that the accounting firms played. I think if that gets fully implemented, it will do a lot towards straightening out and making consistent the quality of financial statements that people who participate in the stock market will be utilizing. I think that as far as Wall Street itself, these things are all sort of tied together, there needs to be oversight of the analyst function. You need to be a transparency of the conflicts that exist between the banking side of their business and the distribution of securities or the sale of stocks and bonds to investors. That is very, very open. And I think time is going to have to heal some of the wounds and some of the distrust, because there was so much over-promotion of economically non-viable and some companies that were just at the margin, particularly in the dot-com era, that I think ended up hurting far too many.
Oh, absolutely. Now, are your former co-workers and friends on Wall Street surprised at the pro-investor reformer type approach you're taking?
I think people always knew that. First of all, I was a pretty active Democrat in my days at Goldman Sachs, and pretty much made a lot of my feelings known. I've always been willing to say that there needs to be a balance between participation by regulators and sort of the freedom of Wall Street firms to do what they want. I grew up in the government securities business, which trades U.S. government bonds, and was one of the leaders who advocated that we have a regulatory regime come in and oversee that marketplace, because there were a number of scandals in the 80s, 70s and 80s, actually, when I was growing up in the business. And I got tired of it. And so I think a lot of people knew and continue to understand that I believe there's a role for government in society. And there is in the securities markets as well as anyplace else. Right. We need a strong SEC that has the resources to do what it's supposed to do. It has the quality of people in those jobs that can provide a check and balance to sort of the over-aggressive desire to make money that sometimes comes out in Wall Street, and that's what's been put in place, and I feel good about being a part of it.
Right, and that's what you mentioned on your website in one of the articles I read, that there's only 25 accountants to manage a $10 trillion industry. And it just doesn't make sense.
And you know, there's a term that, you know, is a legal term called moral hazard, but you know, a lot of people think that somehow or another the SEC can protect the overall markets, but if it doesn't have the people, you know, things are going to go wrong. And those 25 accountants who are looking at 17,000 companies' financial statements and reviewing them on a quarterly basis, realistically, it can't be done. And so a lot of things have dropped through the cracks. You know, the bad actors take advantage of that.
Right.
We saw that at Enron and WorldCom, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But the fact is that you need to have a steady hand overseeing these kinds of issues on a regular basis.
Right.
And they have to know that they're going to be seen.
Like you said on your website, we need a cop on the beat.
Right.
Without a doubt. I wanted to get to two other things quickly, Senator Corzine. One is the nomination, the confirmation hearings that are going to be going on this Wednesday for William Donaldson to head the Securities and Exchange Commission. And the vote will be placed before the full Senate if it gets out of committee.
Comes before the Banking Committee, which I'm a member of, so I'll...
You're on the Senate Banking Committee.
Right.
Now, Donaldson, initially the mainstream press was speaking about how it's going to be a smooth confirmation, no problem. But lately they've been doing their job a bit, and they're uncovering some things about Donaldson, namely that he was at the helm of the New York Stock Exchange when the biggest scandal broke there, that he opposed regulation fair disclosure, and certain other things. Can you elaborate a little bit on what your views of this particular man being appointed to head the Securities and Exchange Commission are?
Well, I think some of the framing of the issues that he is being charged with are a little overdrawn. Bill Donaldson increased the number of people that were involved in compliance and control at the New York Stock Exchange. There were real legal disputes about the nature of the so-called scandal. I don't think Bill Donaldson is anything other than an honorable guy. It's another fellow that doesn't need to be doing this.
So you'll vote in favor of...
Well, unless there is something that I don't understand, and I've studied some of these things. Most of the things that I have heard him charged with, or where people are critical of him, I think there are more than two sides to how those stories sort out, and I happen to think he's an honest guy. It's not a... my question with him is he going to appoint somebody in this accounting oversight board that is going to be independent and do their job? Or is he going to be willing to take a stand that's different than the administration,
right,
which Harvey Pitt was unwilling to do on a whole series of rules and regulations? I want to know what he's going to say about executive compensation.
Right, and he, of course, earned millions and millions of that, and there's a lawsuit going on there. Senator Cordes, I really would like to talk to you a little more, but running short of time. I hope we can get you back to...
Yeah, I'd love to come back. I would enjoy having this opportunity to talk with you. And there are so many things going on in our world. It is as challenged as I think it's ever been. And having a conversation with people of New Jersey and New York, for that matter.
Right. And listener-sponsored non-commercial radio, which is the most important part, I think.
Thank you.